Welcome to the Hunts Backcountry podcast. This is episode number 449, and today's show is going to be a bit different. I'm going to run solo to answer some of your questions, and these are questions that really I've been getting for the past 6 months, ever since the sheep hunt that I did last fall. So if you missed that, in episode 424, I talked about the story of this hunt, but it was a backpack doll sheep hunt in Alaska last August. And since that sheep hunt, I've gotten questions on gear, and I've been basically not intentionally saving them this long. I've been wanting to do a podcast to address all the Q&A, but really the fall just got so busy, and then that ran right into the holidays and right into the show season for us at XO Mountain Gear at the beginning of the year. And so I'm finally getting around to answering these questions. Additionally, I just released a video over on the XO Mountain Gear YouTube channel that went through all of the gear I took on this hunt. It's a lengthy video. I didn't want to just skim the surface, and so it's an hour plus long. However, it is broken out into chapters. And so if you want to skip along and see specific categories such as clothing versus weapon versus pack versus shelter and sleep system, etc., I cover all of that in the video. And then also in that video, you can kind of see some of the, I don't want to say behind the scenes, but some clips from the hunt. Again, the hunt wasn't filmed, but just some of the footage we had from myself and my guide Mark that we took on our phones through this. So really, all of that information, the video, as well as the complete gear list spreadsheet. And that gear list spreadsheet has all the items, links to each item, the specific weights for each item, and more. That's all going to be the link in the show description for this podcast. It's just xomountaingear.com/sheep-gear. But again, that link is in the show description. And then also on that article, as I put together that gear list and then looked to share it, I also realized it would be interesting and maybe helpful to compare the gear I used on the sheep hunt to the gear setup that I used just a few weeks after the sheep hunt for a rifle, elk, and deer hunt in Idaho in October, and really look at what were the differences. And so I get into that in the article linked below as well. But it was interesting to really realize that the vast majority of the items were the same. You know, sheep hunting is unique, and there's a lot of mystique around it, and there's a lot of demands on gear that are unique, meaning, you know, sheep hunting does beat stuff up for sure. Living in Alaska in the backcountry and backpacking has some real serious demands on gear and safety and clothing and staying prepared. And I talk about that in the video in terms of, hey, here's some gear that failed, here's some gear that didn't really stand up to the conditions, etc. But at the same time, I realized that most of the gear for the sheep hunt is the same thing I use the vast majority of the time. It's just tested differently. It's placed under different demands. But to run through it quickly, I used the same pack, the same accessories, the same sleeping bag, the same quilt, the same sleeping pad, the same pillow, the same water filtration, cooking kit, backpacking stove, drinking containers, the same electronics in terms of headlamp and inReach and charging systems, the same essentials and repair kit, the same knife and knife sharpener, the same rifle, the same bullet, the same load, the same bipod, the same tripod, the same rangefinder, the same optics, the same pants and base layer and mid layer and insulation and boots and gaiters and beanie, and all that is the same for the sheep hunt as it was just a couple weeks later in Idaho. A few of the key differences to highlight, and again, this is kind of recapped in the article, would be for the Alaska sheep hunt, I used a dry bag in my pack, which was very important, but not needed for that Idaho hunt or most of the hunting I do in the lower 48. A big difference was shelter. I was able to use a lightweight bivy in Idaho, which is something I wouldn't dare to use for a backpack hunt in Alaska at this time of year. And as you'll hear about, and we can talk a bit about in the podcast, even the tent that I took to Alaska was tested extremely. That was a Hilleberg tent. A difference was game bags. I used smaller boneless game bags because I knew I'd be boning out my sheep in Alaska. Whereas for my elk and deer hunt in Idaho, I had larger bags that accommodated elk quarters. For Alaska, I packed some additional clothing that I didn't pack for Idaho. And this is just conditions based. There's times where I would pack these items in Idaho, but the conditions didn't demand it, so I didn't pack it. But things like my puffy pants, my rain gear, my glassing mitts, and I had some waterproof shell over mitts. All that was important for this Alaska sheep hunt, but none of it did I take to Idaho a couple weeks later. And then something very unique was crampons. I needed those for this sheep hunt in particular because we're in glacier country and clearly did not need those for Idaho. So again, I think it's interesting to compare how much similarities there are, because there's a lot of talk, I think, about gear of, oh, if you're going to do this level of hunt or this seriousness of hunt, you really need to up your gear. And sometimes that's true, and there's key things where it's really important, such as shelter in this case, but just realize that most of your gear is going to transfer. And I'm not saying this just about sheep hunting, but you as a hunter can multi-purpose and get a lot of value out of a lot of gear. And if you have one good quality item that has some versatility, you can take that darn near anywhere in a lot of ways. So it's important, I think, just when making gear choices and purchasing and spending your hard-earned dollars, to think through getting the most out of a particular item as possible and making sure it's going to meet your current needs as well as maybe some of your future needs or different states and seasons and species you may hunt. Again, let's dive into some listener questions. These are all very direct listener questions. That's what I'm going to do in this podcast. Again, that gear video that I'm linking to is already incredibly long. So if you want to see more gear, get into all the gear, get the full gear list, go check out the link. But let me hit specific listener questions that have come through. First one, what are your thoughts on the Sitka Dewpoint rain gear that you used on your sheep hunt compared to the First Light Omen rain gear that you used on your previous mountain goat hunt in Alaska? That's a great question. Yes, I did use the Sitka Dewpoint for the sheep hunt, and had used the First Light Omen rain gear on my mountain goat hunt. I don't want this question or my answer to come across as Sitka versus First Light, because that's pretty irrelevant in this regard. And what I mean by that is the Dewpoint and the Omen are from different brands, yes, but they're very different pieces of rain gear that are built differently and meant for different purposes. So this question could be, within Sitka, for example, they're going to have a lighter, more packable rain gear, such as the Dewpoint, and they're going to have heavier, burlier, more robust rain gear. And I don't remember the model name offhand. But again, this isn't about brand. This is about different types of rain gear. And so for the sheep hunt, I did take the Dewpoint because it is lighter in weight. It is much more packable, and it fit the need well. The reason I took the Omen, or heavier duty rain gear, set on the mountain goat hunt was primarily because I knew we would encounter a lot more brush busting, and also just anticipated more moisture in general. I anticipated on the mountain goat hunt to be climbing through thick, steep, wet vegetation in my rain gear, even if it wasn't raining, just because that coastal Alaska area is just so stinking wet, and it is thick, and it is brushy, and it's filled with devil's club and thorns and all kinds of stuff. And so I wanted something burlier. So really, in choosing rain gear, I'm just thinking through how much moisture am I expecting in terms of actual precipitation? How much moisture am I expecting from, call it the environment or vegetation? How much will I be hiking in this rain gear versus just using it to, I don't want to say shelter in place, but maybe I'm not wearing it as much of the trip? How much off trail or thick country brush busting do I expect to be doing? And then, you know, things obviously like weight and packability begin to matter for, in this case, both the sheep hunt and the mountain goat hunt, but especially for the sheep hunts where I know I'm trying to keep weight to a minimum, but also have what I need and know we're going to be putting on a lot of miles and packing in a true backpack style hunt for a long duration. So I took the dew point, was very happy with it. If I had to own one set of quality rain gear as a backpack hunter, it probably would be the dew point. I really, really like the Omen. I'm glad I own it. I will continue to use it. I have used it significantly. It's a luxury to have both, but I think at the end of the day, if you put a gun to my head and said you had to have one, for me, it would probably be something lighter and more packable, such as the dew point. But that is very much based on my needs, my perspective as a backpack hunter, etc. The next question was on spotting scopes. A gentleman wrote in and said, I just got back from a New Mexico deer hunt where I realized the benefits of a good spotting scope. My 15 by 56 binos were nice, but the 85 millimeter BTX spotting scope that my guide had was next level better when it came to figuring out whether a deer was worth pursuing from over a mile away. What scope did you use for your Alaska Dall sheep hunts, and would you recommend it? I'm planning to purchase my first spotting scope. I normally hunt deer, but may try to tackle sheep hunting in the Unlimiteds at some point. Thanks for sharing your knowledge. So the one scope that I own is a Swaro ATS 65 with a 25 to 50 wide angle eyepiece. I've used a lot of scopes when it came time to spend my money on one spotting scope as a do-it-all scope to balance size and weight and objective and optical quality and magnification range and field of view and all the qualities I'm looking at. That Swaro ATS is what I chose, and I absolutely love the scope, and I'm really happy with it. It would have been the scope that I took on my sheep hunts. I did take it to Alaska with me, but I knew ahead of time that for this hunt in particular, myself and my guide, whose name is also Mark, were going to be splitting a spotting scope, and that he would likely be packing his spotting scope. Just as we looked to spread weight, you know, I was carrying a rifle, obviously, and in this case, he could carry the spotter. And then for sheep hunting specifically, and as well as sheep hunting in Alaska, which is different than this listener's question about hunting the Unlimiteds, for sheep hunting in Alaska, you know, you're judging animals, yes, from a distance, and that could be judging them for legality in terms of full curl. You can find yourself in situations where you close the distance and want to take a closer look at an animal and judge it for age and counting rings as well, which is not the ideal scenario, but is helpful to be able to do. So for a hunt like that, where you're not only trying to find an animal, but you're trying to judge very closely and very carefully the legality and somewhat the quality of the animal, more is better, right? So on this hunt, my guide Mark packed his larger Koa spotting scope, and we did not have my ATS 65. I would have been happy bringing the ATS 65. I still feel like it's a great balance of a lighter weight yet full size scope, meaning it's not a super compact scope such as a small 50 millimeter. So I would have taken it on the sheep hunts, but again, it was a unique scenario where we were splitting gear, and the guide, in this case, my friend Mark, had the opportunity to take a larger scope, which does have benefits and merits for this specific hunt. Now, back to his question, he said he's looking to purchase a spotting scope normally for hunting deer and may try to tackle sheep hunting in the Unlimiteds at some point. Something like the Swaro ATS would be a great choice. I would have no hesitation using it for either of those hunts. Co has a new 66 as well, which is a great scope. That would be another contender. He mentioned his guide having an 85mm BTX, which is the dual eyepiece larger Swaro scope. Obviously larger in objective because it's 85, but also the BTX eyepiece. And honestly, it's a great scope for guides, but it's, in my perspective, not the most practical scope from a weight, price, practicality perspective for most hunters. So I wouldn't recommend personally anything to that level for his needs. I would stick with something such as that Swaro ATS or maybe that Koa, for example. Next question was, can you share the full details of your sleep system that you used for your doll sheep hunts, including your sleeping bag, your pad, your pillow, etc.? So yeah, I obviously do go over this in the video, but the short answer is, for sleeping bag, I took the Katabatic quilt that I use for pretty much everything. It's a 22-degree down quilt. The specific model is called the Alsek, A-L-S-E-K. The sleeping pad that I took was the Thermarest NXT. The pillow I took was a Sea to Summit Eros down pillow. And again, that was not unique to the sheep hunt. It's what I took on that sheep hunt. It's what I took on every hunt I went on last year and every backpacking trip. Next question was, I heard you mention glacier travel in your sheep hunting story, which surprised me. Is that pretty common for sheep hunts? And can you describe more about it? I wouldn't say it's common. It's not necessarily incredibly unique, but it's not common. So obviously, in terms of sheep hunting in the north and Alaska or the territories, you know, many places, it just depends where you're at. I mean, there's going to be portions of Alaska where you may be in glacier country, and there's portions where there's plenty of sheep that aren't in glacier country. We knew ahead of time the areas we were hunting could involve, actually likely would involve, some glacier travel. In terms of, he said, can you describe more about it? One thing that is unique, as I say, glacier travel and was new to me, is it wasn't strictly glacier in the pure sense of what you're probably thinking of in terms of a massive ice field. We were on that, but we were also on the glacier moraine or glacier debris areas, where there's a lot of, the edge of the glacier has piled rock, and there's a mix of ice and rock and just massive amounts of earth that have been moved by the glacier. And so, it was very interesting. We crossed numerous glaciers or glacier bands, had to do some significant movements across some ice, as well as a lot of this rock pile, essentially, that was created from the glacier. And these rock piles have rocks that are pebble-sized. Not much of that. Most of it is chunks of rock. So think anything from a basketball size to a vehicle size rock just piled, some of which is stable, some of which is unstable. A lot of the time it was wet and slick. A lot of times it was windy, and so you're stepping on wet, slick rock that may or may not be stable and also getting blown by the wind. And then after we ended up shooting my ram on the ninth day, there was a big winter storm that came through and dropped a bunch of snow. And so now you're crossing these glacier rock piles, which are unstable, which are now covered in snow, and the snow is kind of hiding where there's cracks and crevices, and it's quite dangerous. But thankfully, especially with heavy packs and the snow and all that, was quite dangerous. But thankfully, we came out of it. It is certainly a test of balance and coordination, and from a training perspective, like an example of the real importance of core strength, for example, to be constantly off balance, taking off camber steps with a heavy pack on something slick and needing to maintain stability, is pretty challenging, but a heck of a lot of fun for sure. Next question. Overall, how would you compare your sheep hunt and your goat hunt in terms of terrain, difficulty, etc.? So they're very different, and it's a little bit hard to put into words without necessarily seeing the country. If you're hearing this and haven't seen it, my goat hunt was filmed, so you can go watch a lot of that and see a lot of that country. And then again, my goat hunt was in coastal Alaska, whereas the sheep hunt was more interior in Alaska. So yes, in Alaska, but very different parts of the state, very different mountain ranges, types of terrain, etc. The goat hunt, you're just starting at the water, and everything is just straight vertical. It's just up and up and up and up and up. And until you break into the alpine, a lot of that, as we've talked about earlier, is very thick, very vegetated, very wet, very loose, very thorny. And in the sheep hunts, you're in the mountains, but things are more spread out. You're not constantly just climbing. You have drainages and river systems and more mountain passes. And so on the goat hunts, it's more about elevation and climbing. And on the sheep hunts, you're climbing and you're gaining elevation, but you're putting on more miles in general. And then those miles aren't as directly intense. It's not to say that they're not intense or not difficult, as we talked about, some of the glacier stuff's intense, etc. But you can string together travel much more easily in sheep country. Not that it's easy, but more easily than you can in goat country. So I would say on the sheep hunts, is kind of tougher from an endurance perspective. It's longer, it's more spread out, it's more miles, but the goat hunt was tougher from an intensity perspective. It's shorter, it's more direct, it's more challenging, consistently challenging, more treacherous, steeper, consistently, etc. So more miles for the sheep hunt for sure, more vertical for the goat hunt for sure. There was way more, call it pucker factor and exposure. And if you're afraid of heights, there's a lot more of that uneasiness on the goat hunt compared to the sheep hunt, for example. I'm not really concerned with heights or exposure too much. Obviously, if things get to a very technical perspective, like everyone else, then yes. But I would say if you're someone who is more prone to be afraid of heights, exposure, vertical drops, slips, falls, etc., the sheep hunt would be easier to manage compared to the goat hunt. If you, I would say your average person would struggle more on the goat hunt in general. I don't mean from a fitness perspective, but more so like probably from a mindset perspective. Next question, how were the water sources on your sheep hunts, and what water filtration system did you use? Again, nothing unique here. I use the same water filtration storage carrying system I've been using, which is a Hydropack Seeker bladder. It's a soft bladder. I carry a 4-liter. And then that directly uses any 42 millimeter water filter, squeeze style filter. I do use the Hydropack filter at this point, but I've also used the Katydin Be Free, which is also compatible with that same bladder. And then my primary drinking bottle is just an Algene. So essentially I have a large 4-liter bladder a filter that's directly inserted or affixed to that. And so at any point in time, I can fill that bladder with dirty water sources and filter kind of on demand or as needed. So I could fill my Nalgene. I could be drinking on that for the next couple hours. We take a small break. My Nalgene's getting lower. I just grab my larger bladder where I'm carrying my dirty water and then refill my Nalgene or filter straight from that bladder, that dirty water source, directly into my Jetboil to cook, for example. In terms of water sources, there was everything from glacier runoff to actual rivers to creeks, streams, snowmelt. There's plenty of water in general. We had a lot of moisture while we were there. So some of, especially the larger water sources were between the glacier runoff as well as just the moisture, which obviously is going to create like a lot of mud and things like that, that drain down into your lower water systems. Those lower water systems were quite dirty and silty and stirred up, but it was pretty easy to find a fairly clean water source on the mountain, in terms of smaller runoffs that were flowing clean. As far as I can recall, I did filter everything, but there was certainly spots on the hunts where I would have been comfortable not filtering. Now that I think about that, I'm debating on if I truly did filter everything. I don't recall, but water was plentiful. Water was everywhere. Some of it was silty, dirty, and stirred up, but it was pretty easy to find good water. Next question was, what was your rifle setup, including the caliber, your scope, etc.? So I've done a full review on the rifle that I used for the sheep hunts. It's, again, the same rifle I've used for everything for a while now. It's a custom 7 SOM, SOM meaning short action ultramag. I'm shooting a 175 grain ELDX bullet. I use that on my sheep, as well as bear, elk, and deer last year. Worked great on all the above. Don't plan on making any changes to the rifle, the setup, etc. But again, yeah, a custom 7 SOM. It's an XLR folding chassis. It has a short 18-inch barrel. I shoot it suppressed. The scope is a Night Force NXS 2.5-10. Yeah, you can get all the details on that rifle build. I'll leave a link to that in the show description as well. But there's a lot of content out there on that rifle. All right, next question is, I'm not sure if you mentioned it on the podcast and I missed it, but I was wondering what model of Hilleberg tent you're using that got taken out by the wind. It looks like from a photo I've seen, maybe it was the Hilleberg Nyack. So again, if you're hearing this question, didn't hear the sheep hunting story. In the sheep hunting story, I talked about the insane winds that we experienced and how we lost shelter. And yes, it was a Hilleberg Nyack. Again, I talk about this more in the gear video and show more of what happened in terms of the broken poles and shrapnel that occurred. But essentially, yes, the Hilleberg Nyack, we had it set up. My guide and I both had, individually, separately, both had Nyacks. And we truly just had insane winds, without exaggerating, that pretty safe to say they were 70 mile an hour plus, and rode out significant winds for quite a long time. But eventually my tent, which was staked down and also had massive rock piles on top of the stakes to keep them from pulling, my shelter was flattening, poles were bending, and eventually I had poles snap. And as a follow-up to that, and what I've done since, and what Hilleberg has said, is a few different things to keep in mind. I cover this more in the video, so I don't want to necessarily rehash everything, but let me just quickly say, I still trust this tent. I still will use this tent. I'm planning on taking this tent back to Alaska. I feel that the conditions we encountered were unique and extreme. And I believe that Hilberg makes tents that would have been better suited for those conditions, but those conditions are atypical of a sheep hunt. And I purposely chose one of their lighter tents, which is still a very strong tent for conditions that pushed it to and obviously beyond its limits. Now, Hilberg has some tips specifically for setting up their tents and securing their tents in strong winds. There's certain things you can do, obviously with staking, but also with guideline management, not just saying, hey, use the guideline, but here's the best way to use the guideline in incredibly strong winds. It's a helpful video. I will share a link to that as well, again, in the show description here. And then also an option that I have now for my Nyack is, by default, the Nyack comes with 9mm poles, and Hilberg offers a 10mm pole set, which is just, as the name implies, thicker and therefore stronger. 1mm difference going from 9mm to 10mm doesn't sound like much, but you can tell just putting these poles in your hand and feeling them that the 10mm poles are significantly stronger. It adds 2 ounces per pole, and the Nyack has 2 poles. So you're essentially adding 4 ounces total to the tent to have these stronger 10mm poles. So what I did was I got a replacement set of poles, the standard 9mm poles from Hilberg for the poles that snapped, and then I purchased the 10mm poles from Hilberg, and so I essentially have both options now. Again, I feel that it was very extreme, unique conditions that would require the 10mm poles. But, I'm planning on doing some wild hunts in the future, so we'll see what happens. Most of the time, I'm just going to pack the 9mm poles when I use the shelter, but definitely certain times, places, or situations, I might pack the 10mm poles. All right, guys, well, that is a wrap on the specific listener questions that came through that I wanted to cover today. Again, if you want to see all the gear, whether it's watching that video or just get the gear list spreadsheet, which again has links and weights and all the details for every single item I took on the sheep hunt, you can do that at the link in the show description. And then if you do have follow-up questions, feel free to send those over. You can leave a question on the YouTube video, like in the comments. You can email us directly to podcast@xamontgear.com. But if we end up getting another batch or group of questions, I can consider doing another Q&A podcast about this gear or the hunt or the situations and scenarios in the future. Maybe it's another Monday Minute. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. We truly do appreciate all the support and the feedback, and truly the reason we keep doing this show and sharing all the content, such as these gear lists, is because of your feedback. So hope they're valuable. Thanks for checking them out. Thanks for following along. And as always, if you haven't yet, hit subscribe or follow in your podcast app so that you receive future episodes automatically. And we'll talk to you soon.